can you introduce yourself? What is CAUSE and what kind of work do you do?
Yeah, so my name is Abraham Melendres. I'm a policy advocate at CAUSE. CAUSE stands for the Central Coast Alliance United for a Sustainable Economy. We're an organization that's been around for many years now in both Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. And we mostly work in issues like immigrant rights, farm worker rights and working rights, voter rights, housing, and stuff like that.
Before this interview, I spoke with Arsenio Lopez at MECOP, and he described some of the conditions the farm workers were going through. You know, there was just the housing situation wasn't ideal, being transported in large vans. There's just a lack of social distancing and protections for the workers, and language barriers, and, you know, the management not completely listening. So what has your collaboration with MECOP involved in addressing these issues?
Yeah, so one of the things I think we're really trying to focus on is putting pressure on government officials, such as county board of supervisors, to put more protections for farm workers. As an example, there's a lot of Kalosha, which is one of the agencies, you know, the state government agencies that are kind of supposed to be upholding a lot of making sure that farm workers' rights are not being violated and that they're being kept and that they're being working under safe conditions. But they, a lot of the times they only have like guidance. So like, you know, things that they hope that employers would do as best practice, but it's not an actual like enforceable law. So one of the things we're asking the Board of Supervisors is to make sure that those are enforceable law. And then additionally, have more inspections in the fields for farm workers, and also protect our H-2A farm workers that are currently here. A lot of them are housed in bunker style, dorm room style settings, which is really bad right now with COVID, with the pandemic. And we're hoping that they can improve and increase the amount of requirements for H-2A housing so that they're living in better conditions, that, you know, because that's a big population that's being affected right now. And then in addition to that, of course, we're trying to, you know, increase education in our communities. I know MECOP's been doing a great job in doing that with Mixteco and other indigenous language community members. We're trying to do everything we can in Spanish. But obviously, you know, there's only so much that as nonprofit organizations we can do. And ultimately, the power really lies in the government agencies that are supposed to be there, right, to protect the workers who've been out there since day one. They never, you know, they've always been essential workers, even before the pandemic, and are still, you know, still out there every day.
Is there funding in place for undocumented citizens who need to take off work due to COVID? I'd heard of the 805 Undocu Fund, but are they reaching those in the farm worker community?
Yeah, so I think obviously we're one of the organizations helping with the 805 Undocu Fund, and you know, even with that, it's not enough to help, right? There's many more undocumented families and workers that are out there that need help. Obviously, undocumented workers don't qualify for unemployment. And again, this isn't just strictly during the pandemic. You know, people don't think about the fact that a lot of farm workers, when the season's over, they lose their jobs and they can't apply for unemployment and those kinds of federal aids. But there are some rights that we're, again, trying to make sure all workers know. So, for example, in the state of California, regardless of your immigration status, you are entitled to 2 weeks of paid leave now, you know, as part of the pandemic, if you are personally affected by COVID. There's also family leave now that applies to workers as well, that if you have a child, for example, an underage child that is sick with COVID, you can take up to 90 days, I believe, at a reduced rate, but still, right, to be able to take care of your child. So there are some rights that the state has been stepping up, but we're still obviously need so much more, and we're continuing to push California to essentially create a safety net for all, to create a program that's like unemployment, you know, same requirements, same kind of system, but at the state level so that undocumented folks can have access to it.
What's been the response been like from like SB county officials, Ventura county officials?
It's been kind of mixed. So thankfully in Santa Barbara County, we at COST have a good relationship with the public health department at the county level. And so we've been communicating with them in regards to the outbreak that's happening in Santa Maria, workers being retaliated against. It's another big issue that I think we need to highlight, is that the workers, when they speak up, are being retaliated against in their jobs. But at the county board of supervisors, it's kind of been a mixed reaction. There really hasn't seemed an urgency, at least specifically from the supervisors, at responding to a lot of this. I mean, when you think about the fact that, for example, one of the board of supervisors, you know, Peter Adams, obviously, you know, comes from a family and one of the biggest agricultural families in our region, and, you know, has always kind of fought against progress when it comes to, you know, having clean water and bathrooms for farm workers and other kind of things like that. And, you know, makes some really kind of ridiculous comments. It's a frustrating, right? But we're hoping that the other supervisors would pay more attention to this and really get the urgency. I mean, you know, there's been comments made that farm workers aren't the only ones being affected, and that's obviously true. But again, we're seeing the higher rates on farm working communities, and also the fact that farm workers are not just farm workers. They're also more likely to be families. They're also more likely to be mixed status families, more likely to live in higher density areas in our communities. And so it's all that, again, the intersectionality. It's not, you can't just take the fact that they're farm workers alone, right? There's so many other things.
What does that retaliation you mentioned look like?
Yeah, so we've definitely have heard from a lot of workers that they either hear a rumor or they know someone that potentially is sick with COVID, and they report it. You know, they say, hey, why can't we have? So we had a case, for example, at a packing facility in North County, where the worker went up to their employer and asked them, hey, can we have temperature checks? Are you going to provide us masks? Things like that. And the employer responded by saying, you know, you need to just be quiet. You could easily be replaceable. And I think that's the biggest issue, right? That farm workers, not just farm workers, but other workers, again, in the packing facilities and other areas, have always kind of been seen as replaceable, right? They're considered these kind of low wage workers that are easily replaceable. And so that doesn't give an incentive for employers to really worry about keeping them, right? So we have heard of employees who complain and are worried because they know people are getting sick with COVID and they're not informed, and there's not those protections being in place. So then additionally, for example, there was a death of a man in Santa Maria, an H2A worker, who passed away at a Motel 6. He was being quarantined at Motel 6. Well, we heard now a story of a man who actually was living next door to him at the motel, that he spoke out on Facebook. He made some comments about, yeah, you know, the company isn't really addressing this issue. They're not taking care of us, the employees, and was fired soon afterwards for speaking out on Facebook and mentioning those things. And so that's a clear-cut case of retaliation, which is completely illegal for employers to do. You know, so that's one of the other additional things we're asking the county board of supervisors, is to end those retaliation practices, and make sure that employers are communicating with their employees about their own rights, you know, about the fact that, you know, again, the two weeks of sick time and those kinds of things, and also in their own language. You know, you can't just put something in English and in Spanish and call it a day. You have to think about whether people are, you know, speak those languages, whether they can even read those languages. So it needs to be communicated in their own language so that they know their own rights, because oftentimes we talk with people that don't even know about a lot of their rights, because it's because my employer never told me anything about that.
Was there anything else you wanted to add or talk about in regards to this issue?
I think the other kind of thing to think about too is that there's also a lot of more younger people who are going back to the fields right now. You know, they're back home with their parents and are expected to work. So we've definitely seen, especially in Santa Maria, we've seen an increase of younger people. Although obviously young people have always worked, even as, you know, as young as high school and even junior high, I've heard of some. And so we started organizing young people who are out in the fields to see what their experiences are. And obviously they have the very same concerns. You know, again, it's with, when you think about the intersectionality of, you know, the farm workers more likely to be living in multifamily, multi-generational homes. You know, people are worried, you know, they're worried that they're going to catch that. They're worried that there's not enough this social distancing happening during breaks, for example, during lunch. One other thing that a lot of people don't think about is by law, after it gets a certain amount of heat, right? If it gets hotter than a certain degree, the employer has to provide shade. And what they do is they roll up these trucks that are towing these little shade things that then they pop up and people can sit there. But these things are literally like packed. You know, you have to be packed in order to enjoy the shade during your break. Because again, by law, you have to be provided shade during your breaks after it's a certain amount of hot. And so we're asking also additionally, you know, ranches and stuff to make sure that they provide more shade and more shade for employers so that they can actually continue to have the social distancing, but still have the right of, you know, having shade during the break. So there's a lot of even smaller things that I think a lot of people are not thinking about where farm workers are potentially being exposed, right, to the virus. And that's something that we're, again, urgently, and obviously we hope that the community helps us put the pressure on the County Board of Supervisors and asking that and demanding, you know, that we need to protect our farm workers. Their health and safety is very important.
Thank you to Abraham Melendrez for speaking with me on this issue. Since the time of this interview, the County of Santa Barbara and its Department of Health has detailed further responses to the outbreak in farm working communities. This includes an injury and illness program that aims to become more inclusive, a wide distribution of face masks, as well as a task force for health education and equitable treatment. The state of California has also started a Housing for Harvest program to support farm workers that county officials are looking into. However, the question remains whether these resources are reaching the indigenous migrant communities or whether there continues to be a disconnect. KCSB will continue to track the latest developments on COVID-19's impact on essential workers and the rest of the UCSB campus and Central Coast communities. With KCSB News, I'm Aubrey Valerio.